Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
If you know Christ, you were not designed or called to journey through life alone. You're called to journey through life with a church family, striving together with one heart and one mind. Next on Daily in the Word with Paul Chappell, we learn how to strive together. You know, a lot of churches have lost the ability to stay unified, to stand together for the gospel, to strive together with one heart, one mind, and one spirit for the faith of the gospel. Today on Daily in the Word, we're going to rediscover and begin discovering how to strive together. Welcome to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell. Dr. Chappell is the senior pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and the president and founder of West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California. And today we're going to study how to strive together. We're learning and relearning how to not go through life alone, but to arm in arm, heart to heart, shoulder to shoulder with our church family for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Strive together for the faith. I want to encourage you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. You'll find lots of resources there, a daily devotional, the Daily in the Word podcast, as well as Dr. Chappell's two newest books. The first one, Stewarding Life, a beautiful hardback book that helps you understand how to take one lifetime of limited resources and live it for eternal priorities. The second is a book entitled Sacred Motives, 10 Reasons to Get Out of Bed Tomorrow Morning and Live for God. Both of these books will encourage and strengthen your walk with God, and you can find out more about them at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Today, we're striving together after God's will. Joshua chapter 3, here's Paul Chappell.
One of the most oft asked questions of a pastor, especially by young people in college and perhaps thinking of career and marriage, is questions that come pertaining to the will of God. Pastor Chappell, what about the will of God concerning dating or college or career? I'm praying about the will of God. And by the way, wise is the person who wants to be in the center of the will of God. These decisions ought not to be made flippantly, without godly counsel, without the word of God, and without prayer. And there are some things in the Bible that we know specifically in the text are the will of God. For example, sanctification. It is the will of God that we would be a set-apart people. And glorification. It is the will of God that we would glorify God in the way that we live. These are specifically stated items in Scripture that we know are the will of God. Certainly, it's the will of God to be in church this morning. Forsake not the assembling of yourself. It's the will of God to forgive others. It's the will of God to love. So there are many things we know to be the will of God because they are revealed in the Scripture. And that was certainly the case for the children of Israel. God had revealed His will to them for their lives. His will, according to the testimony and the message of Moses in 1445 BC, was that they were to leave Egypt. Moses said to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." And they were to go out of Egypt and they were to find the land called the Promised Land. Well, those of you who've studied the book of Exodus, you know that they left Egypt and they went as far as a place called Kadesh Barnea. And it was there that they stumbled and they had a lack of faith. And you could say they missed the will of God for an entire generation because they did not follow by faith the word of God. Well, Joshua and Caleb's entire generation died in that wilderness. They never saw the promise of God because of the lack of faith in that particular generation. But in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1, we read the words, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Go therefore into the promised land." And he called Joshua to lead the people into the promised land. Caleb and Joshua were the two spies who had believed God earlier, and God is going to allow them to help his people find the will of God for their lives. And so 40 years after they had missed the will of God the first time, they come to the edge of the Jordan River just across from Jericho. 40 years later, they stand there with an opportunity to do the work that God wanted done 40 years before. And so it was in 1405 they came to this place of which we read this morning. And we know the Bible tells us the spies went over into Jericho and they met a woman by the name of Rahab. And we know that Rahab told them, "We've heard of your God. We've heard how he parted the sea." And the Bible says in Joshua 2:24, "And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into your hands all the land, for even the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us." You know what I've learned? When God is at work somewhere, the world around finds out about it. People say something's going on in that man's life. Something's going on in that family's life. They used to fight like cats and dogs and they get along now. Something's going on at that church. Why? There's a traffic jam to get into that church. When something is being done by God, people hear about it. And Rahab and the people at Jericho had heard that God was moving again in the lives of the children of Israel. How many of you would like to have it said, "God is moving again in my life"? God is moving again at Lancaster Baptist Church. Truly, God has given us many great victories over the past 25 years at Lancaster Baptist Church. But if we would see those victories continue, then we must come back to the pattern of the Bible and we must say, "Lord, how will you do it again? How can we see your will accomplished in our lives?" Thank God for what he did in 1986. But what about today? And what about tomorrow? Well, if you want the will of God in your life, if we want the will of God in our church, I share with you this morning a prescription that will bring about the blessing of God in our lives. Notice in Joshua's life, first of all, the pursuit of God's plan. Here was a man pursuing after the plan that God had ordained. Now, it may seem simple at first, but I draw your attention to verse number 1 of Joshua 3. The Bible says, "And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to the Jordan." Now notice Joshua's anticipation. The Bible says he rose early. The Bible tells us that he was moving early on in the day to do the will of God. I know in my heart as we approach the anniversary Sunday and the special services to follow, there's an anticipation, there's an excitement. But I believe Joshua had something greater. Why? He was saying, "Look, we're going to move on and make history. We're going to do the will of God for our lives." Joshua did not know how the victory would come. He did not know how the walls of Jericho would fall down. He just knew that God said he was going to give them the land. And so like Abraham of old, he just launched out by faith to do what God had told him to do. Why at this time of year the Jordan River would have been at flood level. It would have been very, very difficult, nigh unto impossible for hundreds of thousands of people to cross the Jordan River. But he wasn't worried about the river. He wasn't worried about Jericho. He knew that God had said, "I will bring you into the land." And my friend, the Bible says in 1 John 5 and verse 4, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." You may not know how God will bring your family back together. You may not know how God will help a revival to come in America. You may not understand in a nation where one of our largest states just redefined marriage in the legislature just yesterday. As we minister in these unprecedented times, in these difficult days, we may not know how to see the work of God accomplished, but by faith we come down to the river, and by faith we trust in the Word of God. And so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we gather this morning and we say, "Lord, show us your plan and increase our faith." Warren Wiersbe once wrote, "In the Christian life, you're either an overcomer or you're overcome. You're either a victor or a victim. After all, God did not save us to make statues out of us and to put us on exhibition. He saved us to make soldiers out of us and to move us forward by faith to claim our rich inheritance in Jesus Christ. And so God did not want Joshua just sitting in the camp there at Shittim. God wanted him getting down by the river and getting ready for the next part of the journey. This past week, I was out knocking on doors and inviting people to church and sharing the gospel from door to door. I took as my partner, Brother Russ Brown. And as I was going on one side of the street, I looked across the other side of the street, and it dawned on me that the very first Saturday I ever went out soul winning at this church, my partner was Brother Russ Brown. And I said, thank God that 25 years later, two men could go out and by faith still sow the seed and still get the message out. And you see, in Joshua's life, though he wasn't young anymore, though he was one of the older men, yet by faith he still believed in God. I know some of you have been here 15, 20, 25 years. If you're like me, things were a little different back then. I remember when I came to be the pastor of this church, Brother Jack, I was 24 years old. You were here, and when I came, just a young man with a lot of hair. Frankly, I would bound out of bed and get with it. I didn't have a lot of wisdom. I prayed for it every day. I had the basic doctrine down, but I'm telling you what, I had one thing in my heart. I had faith that we serve a great God. Now, I get out like you. I get out of bed. It's a little different now. It's sort of like Rice Krispies, snap, crackle, pop. Some of us are moving a little slower, but how's your heart today? How's your heart? Do you have a heart like Joshua to rise up early, to say, I may take a little longer to get there, but I can't wait to see what God's going to do at church. I can't wait to see what God's going to do at this meeting. Why, we may move a little slower, but how's the heart? And I'm saying, Joshua, he had anticipation. He rose up early. Notice not only his anticipation, but notice Joshua's action. You see, the Bible tells us in verse number 1, and he came to Jordan. And he came to Jordan. The word removed him from his place means that he pulled out of his camp and he came down to Jordan. Now, this is simple again, but we need to think about it. Here was a man who was going to leave his comfort zone. Here was a man who was going to leave a place of potential complacency, a potential callousness like many Baptists. It was time to get out of that mode and get back down near to God where God was going to work. And he had to come down near the side of the Jordan River. That's what Terry and I did 25 years ago next week. And we were at a church with a fine salary. And we had a beautiful home. And we had so many nice things. But by faith, we loaded up a rider truck, and by faith we came to a place where there was no salary and there was no nice home and there was no nice staff and there was no Sunday school nor nursery. And by faith we came out of our comfort place and we came out of the place called Shittim in this passage, and we came down to the Jordan River according to the passage before us this morning. You see, unbelief says, let's go back to where it's safe. But faith says, let's go forward to where God is at work. And by faith, Joshua and the people got out of their comfort zone. I'm telling you this morning, it takes faith to tithe. It takes faith to witness. It takes faith to pray at McDonald's with your family. It takes faith to be involved in the Word of God. But Joshua, by faith, moved out to do what God had called him to do. You see, 40 years earlier, the Bible records in Numbers 14 and verse 1, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in the wilderness, and wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. Now the human tendency is to go back to Egypt. The human tendency is to go back to the place of comfort. The human tendency is to stay on the couch when it's time to go to the house of God. The human tendency is to say, how can I hedge my bets so that I'm comfortable, so that everything's okay in my life? But the spiritual tendency is to say, I want to get down where God's about to work. I want to get down by the river. I've never seen a river part. I've never seen the walls of Jericho come down. And I must anticipate my faith. And I must move to where God is at work. And so they did. They lodged near the the river Jordan. And the Bible tells us that in verse 1, and lodged there before they passed over. Oh, we've got to get near to the place where God is at work. We've got to get to the house of God. I don't know what God's going to do in your life in the next few weeks. I'm just challenging you this morning. Get near the action, my friend. Get near the preaching. Get your Bible open. Get in prayer. At least position yourself where God could do something. At least get to the place where you could see God move in your life. Acts chapter 8 and verse number 29. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. You see, Philip had to get near, and Eliezer had to be in the way. And we've got to be in the place where God can speak and move in our hearts. And so I see a man pursuing God's plan. With anticipation, he got up out of his comfort zone. I'm saying sometimes on a Monday night, it makes no sense when there's a special meeting. Sometimes on a Sunday night, and you're about ready to watch Starsky and Hutch. And you're sitting there, you're a professional remote control user. And you're checking that remote. And sometimes the last thing you want to do in your flesh, in your old body, is to get up out of Shittim and get up out of this place where you sit there and eat your potato chips and watch your television. But I'm going to tell you what, America's not going to have revival with Christians watching HBO. There's got to be some Christians get up out of that seat and get on down to the house of God and say, here I am, Lord, right where you want me. And Lord, I want you to do in my heart what hasn't been done in quite a while. Because I've been thinking about going back to Egypt. I've been thinking about going back to the place of carnality. But Lord, there's something stirring in my heart. And so Joshua, he said, I've got to get down to the river where God is about to work. He was anticipating God doing something in his life. But notice secondly, if you would, the pattern for God's people. Now, once you get down to the river, and by that we mean once you position yourself near to where God can work, what do we do next? And exactly what in the world were these hundreds of thousands of Jews supposed to do besides go to the river? Were they going to go fishing? Were they going on a conservatory? Was it the Audubon Society? What was this all about? Well, I want you to see the pattern that they were to follow. Now notice it, if you would, in verse 3. And they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. Now notice, if you would, the command to focus. Once they got to the river, they were not focusing on the Jordan River. They were not to go, my, what swollen banks we see today. They were to focus on the Ark of the Covenant. Now the Ark of the Covenant is significant. Don't miss this. You can take this home with you. 16 times in chapters 3 and 4, we see reference to the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark had always led the way for the children of Israel. It was always the focal point. It was always in the middle of the camp during the 40-year journey. It was always placed in the tabernacle whenever the tabernacle was established. Exodus 25, verses 13 through 17 tells us that the mercy seat was made of pure gold, and that it was on that mercy seat where the high priest would sprinkle the blood on the Day of Atonement. And so they were to focus on the Ark. Now the Ark was to be placed out about a mile in front of the people. If they rushed up upon it, they could not see where to go. So here we hear Joshua saying, let it get out about a mile, and then watch that ark, and keep your focus on the ark. Now the ark for us today is significant, because the ark typifies the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It was made of acacia wood and covered in pure gold. The wood typifies the humanity of Jesus, and the gold typifies the deity of Jesus Christ. Inside the Ark of the Covenant were kept certain sacred belongings. First of all, there was the stone tablets of the law. Not the first ones that Moses received on Mount Sinai, because when he came down and saw the children of Israel having a rock and roll fest around the golden calf, he became angry and he threw the tablets down when he saw the sin inside the camp. But by God's mercy, he gave a second set. And then the Bible tells us in Exodus 25 that the entire set of the law was to be placed inside the Ark of the Covenant. Now don't miss it. The Ark of the Covenant represents Jesus. And inside the Ark of the Covenant was the Word of God, the law. You want to find God's will for your life? You better get to the place where God is at work. You better focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and follow the Word of God. You'll get out of the will of God quicker than anything if you're not focused on Christ, if you're not following the Word of God. So in the Ark of the Covenant was the law. In the Ark of the Covenant was the golden pot of manna. God had provided manna from heaven to feed them during their 40-year journey. And the manna represents the fact that Jesus Christ, John chapter 6, is the bread of life. And then also there was inside the ark Aaron's rod that budded. And this was from the history of the children of Israel, representing in the prophetic sense the resurrected Christ, even as the lilies today remind us that we serve a risen Savior. And the Ark of the Covenant had these contents. Now, at the top of the Ark of the Covenant was something called the mercy seat. The mercy seat. And the mercy seat was the place where the blood was shed. The mercy seat was placed over the law. And it is typifying for us today the finished work of Jesus Christ. For in Romans 3 and verse 25, we read that Jesus Christ is our mercy seat. And the English word is the word propitiation. And the Greek word halasterion. And it means to cover. And what is being covered by Jesus Christ for you and for me today? I'll tell you what's being covered. Every sin that I ever thought of, every sin that I ever committed, every sin that I ever will commit. Glory be to God. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains, and the mercy seat tells me that my sins are covered, and that every time I transgress the law, there was blood shed to cover my transgression. How many of you are glad you're saved this morning? And so he says, I want you to get down to the river, Joshua, and I want you to get the people focusing on the ark and focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ and following after the Word of God. There were the two cherubim there on the top of the mercy seat giving testimony to the witness of Almighty God. Now, my friends, if there's anything we've got to do as we come across this threshold of the 25th year and on into the next generation to the glory of God, we've got to get our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. We've got to say, I'm not going to let other things distract me or discourage me. We're not going to say, well, back in 2005, there was a church member that offended me. Get your eye off that and get your eye back to Jesus. Well, I've been worried about the double dip recession. Listen, I'm worried about the double dip snuff for some of the men in the church. Listen, get your eye off that and get your eye onto the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, you can look here and you can look there and you can find disappointment, but Jesus never fails. Psalm 112 and verse 7, it says, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Trusting in the Lord. And he says, Joshua, get the Levites and get the Ark of the Covenant and have the people focus on it. Now, I want you to know, friends, this morning, we've got to get focused as never before on the Lord Jesus Christ. When I came here in 1986, we had not any great building, any great budget, any great ministries. All we had was faith in a great God. And that still today is all we have, is faith in a great God. The 23rd Psalm was being taught by a Sunday school teacher to a group of girls. And the teacher said, girls, now let's have some of you come and recite it. One little girl stood up. She was a little bit nervous. And she stood before the class and she began to speak. And she said, the Lord is my shepherd and he's all I want. She may not have had it grammatically correct, but she had it theologically correct.
Well, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell on today's edition of Daily in the Word. He's teaching and preaching through a series entitled Striving Together. We're rediscovering church life, how to strive together with other Christians in a fruitful and faithful local church family. You can hear all of the broadcasts in this series when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Also, you'll find other resources like the Daily in the Word podcast or the devotional. We hope you'll subscribe to these and use them or pass them along to a friend. All of this is found at dailyintheword.org. Friend, if you haven't trusted Christ as your personal Savior, I hope you'll do that right now. I hope you'll bow your head and heart wherever you may be and invite Jesus Christ into your life to be your personal Savior, your only Savior. Place your full trust in Him and accept His great gift of salvation. If you have questions about that, we sure would love to talk with you about it. I'll give you our toll-free number in just a moment. Don't forget, you can visit us online and find out a lot more about Daily in the Word and the ministry of Dr. Paul Chapel. On our website, you'll find a daily devotional along with an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading for every day. This complimentary devotional can come straight to your email box and help remind you every day to walk with God. If you follow it along throughout the year, you'll read through the Bible in a year. You'll find this and many other resources on the website, including this series with its recent broadcasts. And you can subscribe complimentary to the Daily in the Word podcast. You can download Daily in the Word to your computer, your phone, or your iPod, and take it with you to listen to at your convenience. All of this is to be found at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. If you'd like to call us, we sure would love to hear from you. Our toll-free number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. Don't forget to visit us online at dailyintheword.org, and don't forget to look at Dr. Chapel's two newest books, Stewarding Life and Sacred Motives. You can find out more about it at dailyintheword.org. Thanks for being a part of today's edition, and until next time, have a great day.